Welcome to another episode of Meeting Pros. I'm your host, Kevin Finn, and as usual, I'm joined in the studio with my lovely co-host, Jessica Park. Welcome, Jessica.
Hey, Kevin. How's it going?
It's going good. As you know, I moved this weekend. It was very hectic.
Did you finish?
For the most part. So
I know you had to move after we did TEDx Peachtree. That had to have been...
It was terrible. It was
a long day.
I was exhausted. So, but yeah, I moved into Castleberry Hill. The loft looks great. Becca's doing all the putting everything up, so very nice.
What have you been up to? Exciting. Well, it's cold, and I don't have a jacket, warm jacket that buttons anymore, so that's kind of a bummer.
I think maybe we'll go shopping after this show.
Right. I had to break out my woolen cloak today, because it was the only thing that would, like, wrap around me. But,
well,
yeah.
You don't have too much longer for that.
Nope, not too much longer, but I don't even want to talk about it. Okay. I was telling them on the way back to the studio, I was like, nobody say anything shocking today, because you never know any minute now.
Exactly. So, sorry. Well, who do we have in the studio today? We got some great guests, studio full.
Today, I brought several people that all are in kind of niche services within the events industry. And we have with us today Krista Baruti.
Hello.
Hello. She's a singer and songwriter. We have Tamara Eccles with Gem of the South.
Hi.
We have Carmelita Light with Lighthouse Cocktails.
Ew.
And we're going to start with Shane McIntosh of Ocean Catering Company.
Well, welcome to the show, Shane.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Well, tell us a little bit about Ocean Catering Company.
Okie doke. Well, I'm Shane McIntosh, executive chef and owner of Ocean Catering Company.
Related to anything like Mac computers? Are you that lucky? No.
No. That's why I'm still cooking. That's why I'm still cooking. But we're located downtown Atlanta, 49 Peachtree, smack in the middle. We're a full-service catering company. We do everything. We'll design it for you, decorate it, cook for you, clean up, the whole nine yards.
So how did you decide you wanted to own your own catering company?
It's the party, man. It's the party, you know? It's who doesn't like the guy
exactly.
who shows up with food and drink and cleans up and leaves, you know?
I think the cleans up and leaves is the good part. I used to do the rest in college. I'd show up with the food and the drink, but I wouldn't clean up or leave.
See? So. But you parlayed that into radio, so that's good.
So give us a little background into what you used to do before you decided to start your own company.
I'm one of those glutton for punishments. I started restaurants when I was 14 years old.
Okay, you got to tell me about this. What kind of restaurant when you were 14?
It was a blues bar in Memphis, Tennessee, actually.
At 14?
Yeah.
How does that work?
I had a little problem where I didn't want to go to school and give my mom a hard time, so she was going to teach me a lesson and drop me off with a friend of hers at this club to sweep and take out the trash, all that good stuff.
You showed her, right?
Oh, I loved it. You know, Saturday mornings after a Friday night, that sort of thing. So it kind of turned where I could only keep the job if I didn't give her problems, getting up in the morning, doing my homework, that sort of stuff. About 6 months into it, the owner saw me and just saw that I'd organized the dish pit so well because I hated doing it so much. He put me in hamburger flipping class. Next thing you know, I was running the line at 15 years old with all these veterans and still wasn't really able, supposed to be working there. So they moved me to another restaurant and just kept me moving around. And I just loved it.
That's the best way to get into the event.
So you actually got to learn useful skills like geometry and all that BS. That's not useful. But you had skills that you could take the rest of your life and use.
Definitely.
Exactly. And I moved through the food chain.
They were paying you, right? So you wondered.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you could consider that it's all relative.
Yes.
I think minimum wage was $3.75. I think I got like $4 an hour.
Ooh, okay, all right.
That.
So you're making more than minimum wage.
You know, like 14,
that's a lot for a 14-year-old. You're like, yeah, take all the girls out on dates and like.
I think Atari was the thing.
That was the thing.
That was the thing.
I think it was ColecoVision at that point.
yeah, it was something like that.
So how did you get to Atlanta and how did you start your company here?
My wife and I moved in '99 to Atlanta, and I'd been running. I'm a classically French trained chef. And I've just worked at so many different places. When we got to Atlanta, we did corporate dining, just wanted nights and weekends off, and got stuck on 400 at the wrong time, at the wrong day, and just had too much of it. Called my boss, quit, then called my wife and said, guess what, baby, we're going out on our own. And that was in September 2001, and we haven't looked back since.
And who says you have to be crazy to start your own company?
Yeah, it definitely helps.
Yeah. So you're classically trained as a French chef, and Jessica never gets me any food. I love food so much. I'm gonna start making a requirement to come on the show. If you cook good food, you got to bring me some.
I know. See, Carmelita could have brought a cocktail cart and some.
We can have a party.
Next time. We'll just put these in the footnotes for sure.
We got desserts here, too. No, we got it all. All
right, Shane. So talk about it. There's a lot of other catering crumb. What sets you guys apart from other companies?
Well, obviously, I'm the best.
Okay, definitely. Well, we can tell that. You got the best radio voice, too.
The coolest, most handsome, you know, just whatever you want to pick is definitely us. The biggest thing with us that I say is you get me. You know, if you look at the big catering companies in Atlanta, nobody knows their chef. You know, I'm still involved with every single party we do, and we do thousands of parties a year. I make sure that it's what you're supposed to get. You know, I still have that drive that I want it to be the absolute best.
So you're taking that. You're still as hyper as you were when you were 14, I can tell.
Yeah, even maybe a little bit more so.
All right, so walk me through engagement. I come to you. I want you to cater an event. How does that process go? Because you do it from top to bottom, right?
Absolutely, and we design it specifically for your needs. So your budget, your taste, your friends, your family. We don't do cookie cutter style events. So, you know, basically it's just sit down talking with us. You know, we'll do you have allergies? Do you, you know, are you doing this for a wedding? Are you doing it for you and the bride? Are you doing it for your parents? Are you doing it for your grandparents? Because everybody has a different reason of why they're throwing this party. And just kind of walk through it. You know, we look at the venue, you know, kind of get a little with one-on-one meetings. We can get a taste of your style, that sort of thing. And then we just start from there. Start looking at tables, decorations.
So people actually get to meet you.
Absolutely.
Before you do an event with them. Okay, I like that. Do you ever say, well, this isn't going to work out. We clash? Or do you just do it all so you don't clash with anybody?
No, I mean, you just grin and bear it.
You grin and bear it.
You know, that's you just
good
grin
food
and bear
solves
it.
All problems.
Yeah, and just good service. You know, my wife runs the front of the house. It's a family business, and you know, we kill it with kindness and just go overboard.
Okay, well, it sounds like, how's it working with your wife? Do you guys sort of make up for each other? The stuff you don't like to do, she likes to do, and the stuff she doesn't like to do, you like to do?
The best thing with working with my wife is I get to see my wife every day. You know, the worst thing about working with my wife is I get to see my wife every day.
So, you can't get away with anything.
Nah, you know, she can't go home and complain about the ass in the kitchen. You know, that's me. So.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about social media. How has it impacted your business? It's become huge. People can give you a review right away, like right as they're there. At the event
they can, and also it works. You know, we can show what we're doing right away. Something pops up that's really cool, you know, we can take a picture, send it out, go, you know, by the way, this, you know, it's it works both ways.
All right, so how do you go out there and how do you get your ideal client?
A lot of luck. You know, that's
that's all,
you know,
business right there.
Word of mouth is where we grow. You know, it's just every party is a brand new party, a brand new opportunity to get more business. You know, that's the way we view it.
All right. Well, what's next for you guys? What are you going to be doing? Anything new? Or you got any events coming up that other people can go to?
Absolutely. It's still not too early to book your holiday party. Book now. Book now. Save time later.
And you deal with all sizes of parties? Like,
absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. So anything from 10 people to 10,000.
Really?
Absolutely.
Wow.
That's a lot of food.
What's the biggest event you've done?
The biggest, I've done two events for 10,000.
Oh my God.
We did a birthday party once years ago, and then I did a picnic, a fried chicken picnic basket for 10,000 people.
Oh my God. That sounds amazing, actually.
Logistically, it's a nightmare.
What's your favorite thing?
Do you have any menus available for the holidays that you want to share, like Thanksgiving coming up?
We have lots of stuff on our website at oceancateringcompany.com.
Mm-hmm.
But once again, for everything, we do, you know, we design it for what your needs are.
Yeah.
You know, so we'll just sit down and walk you through it.
All right. Well, what's your favorite thing to cook for people?
Barbecue. Ooh. Yeah.
You do good.
I'm from Memphis.
Yeah. Oh. I was going to say.
You know, we have a pulled pork that'll curl your toes after 18 hours in the smoker.
Yeah. So. We're going to have you just back so you can bring me food.
That's perfect. Perfect, man.
All right. So give us, our listeners, your contact information. And how people reach out and hire you guys.
OceanCateringCompany.com and Facebook, Ocean Catering Company.
Are you guys ever going to have like a brick and mortar place where people can come?
We're actually working on it. Stay tuned for the beginning of the year. It's going to, you know, we're looking at our retail arm. And, you know, once again, it's going to be amazing.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being on. And we look forward to having you back. And I want to try some of that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I won't come empty handed.
Definitely. All right. Well, next up on Meeting Pros, we have Carmelita Willis Light with Lighthouse Cocktails. I like that, how you lighthouse it spelled. Her last name is spelled L-Y-G-H-T, and it's L-Y-G-H-T House Cocktails. Very good play on words.
Thank you.
So, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So, what do you guys do there? I mean, obviously you offer cocktails, mm-hmm. but how do you have a whole company based just around cocktails?
Don't you love it?
I love it.
Mm-hmm. Most people do. So, Lighthouse Cocktails, we're a mobile bartending service. It's a bar catering company, and we specialize in creating signature cocktails. We have the staffing for bartending, bar backs, servers, what have you. We also provide, like I said earlier, the signature cocktails, the base mix for any drink that you want. Pretty much, if you can dream it, we can achieve it.
Do you actually bring the alcohol? Is that, or do they get it?
Great question.
Because I know that there's a fine line there. Like
there
if
is.
You can bring it yourself.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
You're right. Fantastic question. No is the answer. We do not provide the alcohol. We provide the service mm-hmm. and everything else it takes to make
That's
your bar complete.
That's actually a very smart way to do it mm-hmm. because that way you can consult them on
exactly.
the quantities they need and you don't have the liability as much.
There's liability offering people alcohol?
Yes.
Jessica, you hit it right on the nose. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep, we do provide the consulting services. So if you're looking for a particular brand or quantities, you want to shop at a particular store, you're looking for something special or unique, we can help you with all of that.
Excellent.
All right, so what's the craziest drink out there that you guys make? Say you guys can do it all.
Crazy.
Craziest drink. I've heard them all. I went to Valdosta, so.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to really call it a crazy one, but.
Maybe your favorite, maybe the best.
Oh, gosh, there's so many. But we'll talk a little bit about what we've got going on right now for the holiday season. We've got two, and we've been sampling them out quite a bit. One is the Southern Pecan Pie cocktail. It's made with a little bit of bourbon.
Okay.
Yeah, we mix it up a little bit. So for those of you who don't think you can make a great bourbon cocktail, we'll show you how you can do it.
I like how she gave us one ingredient in the cocktail.
She's smart.
So we can't go home and make it ourselves.
That's right.
We'll see. I'll test Google with that one. So how did you decide you wanted to do this? Give me some background.
Sure. You know, I really wish that I could say that this was an original concept, but I'd totally be lying if I said that. It actually stems from my dad. His name is Joe Willis, and we're out of Augusta, Georgia, and he's the person to know. I mean, he's the first person everyone calls before they even have a date. Before they have a venue. So I started...
I was thinking date.
Right,
like,
right.
Like, before I take this girl out to the movies, I'm going to call
Joe Willis. I'm going to call Joe Willis.
Call Joe Willis. Right.
What do I need to drink? What do I need to drink?
Joe Willis.
Bourbon, right?
So, I mean, like Shane, I started at a really young age. Not necessarily twirling the cocktails,
Yeah, you're not going to say that part. Okay.
My family and I, we all have a hospitality background, so service is key, and that's where I've learned everything, and I give it all to him.
All right, definitely.
Cool. So I have bartended. Mm-hmm. We mentioned that. I bartended for a very long time, and I went to bartending school. Did you ever do any training as that, or did you just work hands-on in the industry?
Hands-on. I did not take the traditional route and go to bartending school.
It doesn't really do a whole lot. I mean, the bottles don't even have real alcohol in them. They have, like, colored food, colored water, and the color of the cocktails are never what they are when they're made.
When you're
making them. That doesn't put you ahead, really.
Yeah, I honestly felt like I had the very best teacher. I mean, everybody brags on their parents, right? He's the best, and my brothers and my sister, we all at some point in our lives did it, and it just really stuck with me. I went to school for business, and on the side.
See, that'll help you a lot more.
Yeah. I'm a natural born cheerleader. I did competitive cheerleading, so I love to talk. I like to, I'm one of those people. I can get in and fit in just about anywhere, so.
I knew we would get along.
So it sounds like you've mixed all your attributes into your company.
I have.
So do what you want. Well, Jessica, I did not know you used to bartend. I used to bar back. So
excellent.
There we go, right there. That's why, exactly.
I was so young that I went to bartending school so they would give me the work because they didn't have young kids bartending back when I was a kid. It was all older people, older gentlemen.
Well, it's easy to become, when you're 16 years old, it's easy to become a bar back. But they used to let me bartend too when I got too busy. They threw me back there and like, you know what color it's supposed to be? And I'm like, yeah. All right, make sure it looks, say the drink. So,
right, yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
All right, so what sets you guys apart from different companies?
What sets us apart, first and foremost, is our service. I am 100% hands-on. I'm typically at every single event that we do, which is why I try not to double book if I don't have to. The signature cocktails, they definitely do set us apart. I'm not yet aware of other companies who are doing it. It's quite possible that they are, but
they're just not doing it as well.
Why, thank you.
The audience can't see the drinks in my hands.
Well, hey, Jessica made a comment earlier, and I actually did bring some samples for you guys.
Sweet. We had beer people on last week, and so I'm excited.
Kevin and Jessica, it's totally up to you if you want to share with the other guests in the room.
Yes, let's share.
Jessica,
I'll share mine. Don't worry.
Well, I brought non-alcoholic, too.
Oh, okay. That's so funny.
All right, so talk about, you do a bunch of different events. How do you pick people to work with you? Because that's really important.
It is imperative to pick the right staff. In the hospitality industry, the turnover rate is incredibly high. It's really hard to keep people. And, you know, I really try my best to train good people, and I start off by sitting down, having a face-to-face interview, kind of asking some questions about their background and what they expect to achieve within the company, what makes them upset, you know, just some general guidelines that I can go by to kind of get to know a little bit more about the person. I'm really a personal person.
Okay.
I like to know.
How much does personality play into it? Because I've lived with so many different bartenders. Mm-hmm. It's awesome, but they've all had a great personality. They can always talk to people, and I think that's a huge part of it, right?
Absolutely.
Even more so than actually making the drinks right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all about the connections that you make. If you can make a connection with the guest, then you've got them for the rest of the night. I mean, what you'll find is in bartending, if you can talk to somebody, you've got a common ground, they'll come back to you every time just because they want to talk to you.
Or if you're a heavy pourer. So.
Yeah, that too.
That too.
So how do you deal with that? Do people actually pay for drinks at these bars, or you're already paid for, so you can just give it out for free and your bartenders don't have to worry about slipping someone or that, this or that?
Yeah, that is a great piece to the service that we offer. Everything is generally paid up front. We do open bars. It's very rare that we'll do a cash bar because it requires additional licensing.
Okay. I did not know that. Yep. There's a lot of stuff.
There's a lot of red tape.
Are they allowed to put out tip jars, or you pay your bartenders well enough so you're like, no, you cannot have a tip jar. That's not classy enough.
That is an awesome question.
That is an awesome question.
Good job.
We do not do tip jars at weddings and other high profile or what I consider to be classy affairs. It's not. I mean, we live in the South. That may be acceptable up north, but here it definitely is not. And I've had the questions asked, and you know, I tell my bartenders and staff, listen, I don't want you to not get a tip. If somebody offers you a tip, take it. Don't deny it, but a tip jar out? No. It's just not professional. It doesn't look good.
Puts too much pressure on me. So, what's next for you guys?
What's next? So, we're in the process of introducing our product line. Really excited about that, which is, of course, why I brought in some samples for you guys to try today. That is, well, we're hoping it's going to, you know, set us apart a little bit more, because who's doing that?
No one. So can you talk a little bit more about that? Or is it still sort of under wraps and you're going to have a huge unveiling?
Yeah, we're working on an unveiling. We are relaunching our website very soon, and the product line will be a part of that. But just to give you a little snippet, I mentioned earlier that Southern Pecan Pie Martini. It'll be a part of the lineup. We're going to do some seasonal things, and we're going to do some standard offerings that we'll always have available.
So have you guys thought about maybe franchising out this model?
That's nice.
Another great question.
I'm on a roll.
He's full of them today.
That may be a part of the 5 to 10 year business plan, but really I've got to perfect it right here.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, let our listeners know, Al, how they can contact you and get drunk. Responsibly.
There's the key word. You can find us on I'm not going to say all the social media outlets, but quite a few of them. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn. We're lighthousecocktails.com, LYGHT. And on the Facebook, Instagram, we're at LH Cocktails.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for being on. And I cannot wait for these samples. I'm stoked.
Yay. Thank you for having me.
All right. Well, next up on Meeting Pros, we have Tamara Eccles with Gym of the South. You've been sitting there patiently nodding your head, laughing at all my horrible jokes. So I appreciate that. So welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Definitely. Well, let's talk a little bit about Gym of the South.
Well, Gym of the South is the place where you discover something sweet, as Jessica mentioned. I'm the dessert person, and my company is a little different from everyone else's. I'm an online business, and as I mentioned, we talk about desserts, the business of desserts. My company is pretty much twofold. I call it a media company because I blog about and talk about desserts, so the events that people have, where I'm concerned, is probably personal events at home. So I try to bring back the whole idea of bringing baking back to being, I guess, sexy again.
Very good. Well, do you need anyone to taste and write up reviews or anything?
Because everyone always thinks that I travel with dessert, and maybe I should, but it's kind of hard. So I do, I talk a lot about and I bake a lot for the website, and then I interview a lot of people who are in the dessert industry. So I love that piece of it. I've met some really fascinating people, including Jessica, and it's just really fun. Who doesn't love dessert?
Definitely. Well, I'm not the best spiller out there, but I believe Jim, you spell Jim a special way?
I do.
Okay, I wasn't actually sure, but I was like, I think it's a G.
And there's a reason for that. The company is named for my grandparents, my grandmother's actually. My maternal grandmother's name was Janie, and my paternal grandmother's name is Mary. And the E is my last name, Eccles, so my dad kind of, you know, brought it all together. So
I love that. It can't hurt the SEO either, can it? All right. Well, talk a little bit about how you got into this and decided to do this.
Well,
it sounds like if I was like a little kid, you're like, what do you want to do? Oh, I want to eat dessert and talk about it. So,
well, you know, the funny thing about it is I've baked for a long time, and I did it as a way for me to just kind of relax my mind from, I'm a pretty serious person, and so it's a way for me to kind of tap into my creative side. And I started the blog at the encouragement of my brother. He said, why don't you start talking about what you bake? And I did it with the mindset of starting a bakery. I wanted to start a bakery, and I wanted to start it at home. Well, there are a lot of laws in place in the state of Georgia where you can't bake from home for profit. And so I felt a little discouraged by that. But he said, you know, don't let that keep you from still talking about dessert. So I kept blogging about dessert, and I kept just sharing stories with people and delving into the whole social media aspect of just being online in general.
How do people respond to that? Because it's definitely an interesting concept.
You know, there are a lot of dessert bloggers out there, and people are fascinated by it, including myself, that people actually want to read about dessert. And there are a lot of bakers out there, too.
Even if they don't bake, though, because I don't necessarily do a lot of baking myself, but I love seeing the new stuff and what people are doing and the creative ways they're coming up with new old ideas. And
right. And I like showing people that, you know, it's not as scary as you think it is, because people think, oh, dessert, oh my gosh, I can't do that.
It is a science, though.
It is. Because I make a lot of things, like I make pralines, ooh, I make marshmallows. Mm. I like the candy side of it, caramels. And I've hosted events where I call it taking the blog live. So Dessert with Jim, I've hosted two of those events where my readers could come and meet me live and sample some of my desserts. So it's been a great journey for me. And I've, you know, like I said, the roadblock of having the bakery, I didn't let that stop me from still doing what I enjoy doing. So I host the events and I just get out on social media and let people see what I'm doing in my kitchen.
Very cool. Well, you wrote a book, haven't you?
I did. I wrote a book called 7 Recipes for Dessert Business Success, because like I mentioned, I did start out doing events in the beginning, and I just wanted to share with people how I marketed myself. And so in the book, I talk about just having continuity in branding. And so everything that I do is Gem of the South. When you see my little diamond, my little gem, people know it's me. And so I just wanted people, because a lot of people are asking me, how do you prepare for big events? Like I did an anniversary, 1 year anniversary party, and then a business anniversary party. And then I did an event where there were tons of dessert business owners, and all of my signage, all of my packaging had Gem of the South. And people just want to know, you know, how I did it. And a lot of times people think it's hard to do, but I just gave like tips, and I don't want to say tricks, but really tips on how you can, on a budget, because it's tough when you're in the food industry, it costs a lot of money to bake.
You got
to
be a little crazy.
Right. Like I said. And so I just gave people tips on how I just got my name out there and got the brand Gem of the South just known for dessert.
All right. Well, what's next? You're going to start going to different restaurants and being like, do you know who I am? You want me to review your desserts and
you know,
put it on my blog.
I get a lot of people that I don't necessarily review on the website, but I get them on the radio show. So I get a lot of people that want to be on the
radio
show.
Too.
I have an online radio show. And that has been a pleasant surprise for me, the number of listeners that I've had on the show and have really been good marketing for the dessert business owner. So I have people who want to get either on the blog when I do it, but definitely on the online radio show.
All right. Well, what's the overall goal of all this? If you could have your perfect, you say 2 years down the road, this is where I'm going to be at. I'm going to be living the life.
My overall goal is definitely to continue to grow the radio show and get the business of dessert out there. But also my dream, my 5-year to 10-year plan is to have a gourmet store where all the people that I've met along the way, almost like, I don't know if you guys know about Barefoot Contessa, but she had a store. It's like a gourmet store. Mm-hmm. I would love all the people that I've met to have their product in that store and to host classes where I teach people how to make desserts and to host parties.
That sounds like a blast.
It'll be the awesome place where people discover something
well,
sweet.
You need to let me know when you do that. It'll be a great date place for
me.
So
definitely.
I know some of the laws have recently changed. Did you want to touch maybe on the new cottage law for people that are listening?
Right. The cottage food law was enacted this year, I think around January. So it's a great victory for people who bake or make food products from home. And so the issue, the roadblock that some people face is that you have to find out if your county will allow you to bake or make a food product from home. So you want to make sure you check with your local county government to see if they will allow you. I know Gwinnett County, they're a little tougher to deal with, but there are a lot of counties that are allowing people to bake from home, and you just can't wholesale. So it has to be from you to the customer. So, but definitely look into that if that's something that you're interested in doing, because it's definitely freed up people to, if you're not sure if you want to do a full-on dessert business, you can, doing it at home is the way to go.
Test it out, and if people are like, oh, this is terrible, you're like, okay, maybe I should rethink my life goal.
Yeah, there's so much opportunity in Atlanta for working in commissary kitchens, for selling to these markets that pop up every weekend. So
commercial kitchens, too, they're growing, too, and you want to look into that. Sometimes they're a little pricey, but I found some that would probably work more in your budget. So definitely people can look into commercial kitchens as well.
So here's my big question. Have you created your own dessert? Your own special?
I think your pralines.
My pralines. People really love them. And marshmallows. I never thought I'd like making candy, but
I never thought about, like, marshmallows have to be created.
They're hard to make. I mean, yeah. To make them and make them, like,
I thought like fairies or elves.
That's me. I've made lemon marshmallows, caramel marshmallows, peppermint marshmallows, chocolate marshmallows, a secret marshmallow.
I had cherry and blueberry homemade marshmallows at my shower.
Blueberry sounds really good.
I'm scared to say the one that I've tested.
Don't. Keep it under lock.
I'll tell you guys later.
Yeah, off the air. You want to keep the secret sauce. We're not here to try to give other people business.
But I do have a dessert guide that's coming out. That's something new that I've done. I've partnered with other bloggers and bakers, people who are some chefs, and I'm coming out with a holiday guide. I did one last Christmas. I did one in the spring, and then they'll have another one coming out for Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Definitely. Excellent. Well, let our listeners know how they can reach out. And is there anything we can do to help to get you more users or readers, or what do you
need
from us?
Ask people to visit. I'm everywhere in social media, and it's Gem of the South with a J. So I'm on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest. I'm everywhere. So join me as I discover something sweet.
Well, thank you so much for being on the air.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Last but not least, we have our headliner now. We got the undercard out of the way. We have Krista Berruti.
Berruti.
I knew I always messed
Berruti.
He always messes up one name.
Everyone in the world messes that name up. At least he didn't say burrito.
Burrito. Has anyone said burrito before?
Someone called my dad Mr. Burrito one time. We are Italian. It's the wrong food.
So you're a singer and songwriter.
I'm a singer and songwriter. And
you've done weddings, you've wedding songs, all that kind of stuff. You do a lot of different stuff.
I've done some custom songs. That's what I'm going to talk about today, is some doing custom songs for weddings, special events. It's a little bit different than just getting a standard wedding song. Oh, we danced to this when we were 18 when we met. Why not have
Call
someone?
Call me maybe. That's going to be like my cousin.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I'll write you a song. We'll call you sometime.
Never.
Yeah, there you go. I'm going to bring you on as a writer.
I love it.
But it's just something custom. I sit down and talk to the couple, ask them to give me 5 to 7 words about their love or experience or their connection with one another, and then ask them a little bit about what kind of music they listen to, what they want. Do they want a slow song? Do they want a dance song? And then I create a little masterpiece for them to play.
And I don't think it sounds really simple when she says it like that, but they don't realize how difficult that is and how long the process takes.
Yeah, it actually does take quite a while. It depends on what the person wants. If they want, an acoustic song, fine, I can bring in a guitar player, boom, record them. Usually the writing process for me, it can take anywhere from 4 hours to a week. It just depends on, if that vibe flows into me. I don't want to sound like a hippie, but I kind of am. But if there's a full band, then it takes me, having to contract a full band, bring them in, getting the studio time, producing the song. So, yeah, a lot goes into it. But it's just like speaking a different language. They tell me, and then I translate it into the music for them.
So are you just a singer? Do you play a lot of instruments? Or?
I dabble on a lot of instruments, but vocals are my thing.
All right. If you ever need an expert triangle player, that's me. I'm really
good
at the triangle.
Good.
I thought it would be cowbell for some reason.
Cowbell? Nah,
you can never have enough cowbell.
Always more cowbell.
That was a good layup.
What are some of the costs associated with having this service?
Well, it varies. Just like, again, if someone is to bring in an acoustic guitar player, it's going to cost a lot less. It could, range anywhere from $1,000 to $3,000, depending on what studio I, work at. So it just varies. It's all over the place. So I'll just sit down and do the custom thing.
So how do you get into this? How do you start songwriting and getting this whole thing?
Let's see. A little over 10 years ago, I got into performing as a vocalist. I'm very
talent show. Where was it?
Actually, yes, my 8th grade talent show.
You just blow everyone's socks off. They're like, man, wow.
Well, I mean, I don't mean to toot my own horn or anything, but I did get a standing ovation.
Nice.
I sang "Jewel, Who Will Save Your Soul." My friend played guitar. I was up there in my little combat boots.
I love that song. I own that CD, by the way. That whole album. I will admit it.
Wow.
So
learn something new every day.
It's a good album. She's a great songwriter. So it started with the talent show, and then I
performed for a while. I got tired of people playing instruments for me, so I learned how to play instruments, started playing more shows, got a label deal down in Florida, and...
And you thought, I'm set now. This is it. I'm big time.
No, no, no. I've never been satisfied with anything. So I just keep going forward. So I got tired of people having to rely on people to record me. So I moved up here in about 5 years ago, 2008, to go to school for recording. And now I've crossed over to the film world. So I'm getting into music placement and audio post for film.
Awesome. So what's next in this whole scheme of things? And I know we talked about this before the show, so maybe it's not a fair question.
Well, ideally, I would like to open my own post studio, but, you know, I'll go back to the point of custom music for different events and occasions. It's just something to do on the side. So I keep expanding my network, and I'll keep growing with the opportunities and working with radio stations in the future.
hint, nudge. So what's your ideal thing? Would you rather be like a producer, have fine people, and because you love music so much, find these people like, you're great, I would love to produce you, let's get you out there? Or do you want to be like, hey, I'm the shit, we're going to get my music out there, I'll be my own label?
Well, it's kind of a little bit of both. And now that I've crossed over to the film world, I really like that side of things. And my writing style has more of a storytelling element rather than call me maybe. you know, pop music is fine, whatever. There's just no heart and soul in it. So
Miley Cyrus isn't an artist? Or?
Well, I listen to her sometimes. Don't tell anybody, everyone that's listening.
A little catchy, but...
It is a little catchy. But yeah, just writing for film, so I can place my music or other people's. But as far as pursuing a career, like, just in the music industry, no thanks. I like the film side of things better. I think I'm going to stick to this.
Definitely. So what kind of music do you listen to?
Oh, good music.
Good music. So that's about it?
A little bit of everything. I do have a guilty pleasure with pop. I listen to pop. Everyone that knows me. I try to keep it a secret, but I love it.
All right. So you went into the flow of the writing process earlier, but go into deeper. How is that? How do you write a song? And do you do the words first? Do you have a tune first? How does that process go together? I've always been really curious.
I mean, there are a lot of different ways to do it, and everybody does it differently. Me personally, I like to go on an idea. And what I tell film people, you know, with audio and music, that's what, you know, holds the emotion. That's what really connects to your audience. So whenever I get an idea, so say we're writing a breakup song, right?
Okay.
So then I've got this idea.
I'm going to pay $3,000 for a breakup song.
Hey, it's any occasion.
That's awesome.
If you're going to go out, you go out with a bang.
That's an ingenious way. I don't know if anyone would complain, be like, yeah, my last boyfriend, I need to get back together with him because he broke up with me. He had a song produced and everything. It was great.
Well, yeah.
He didn't have drive.
Exactly. And there's probably a lot more emotion behind that song than just a regular love song, actually. But anyways, it's just the emotion of it, okay? So I'll start coming up with the poetry in my head and just kind of playing through that for, you know, a couple days. But that emotion is really going to set the tone for the music. And I've studied resonating frequencies and whatnot. I'm a total audio nerd. So there are different, you know, different instruments and different notes and whatnot that actually will
evoke emotion.
Yes. So there's a technical way to do it, but then there's just a way to sit down and say, okay, does this sound sad? Does this sound happy? Is this, you know, is this dissonant? So it's just learning that language and feeling it. Everybody understands that it's just a matter of communicating that.
So you would write a song for like any occasion. If someone came up to you like, I want you to write a song for this occasion.
Sure.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, how can people reach out and contact you to get these songs made?
You can look me up, Krista Baruti, on most social media. You can listen to some of my music on SoundCloud. And my last name is spelled Berutti, and it's Krista with a K. Or you can call me at 770-820-3486.
Well, thanks for being on. I might need a song next time I try Shane's Barbecue.
Oh, yeah. We need samples next time.
samples, and I need a song playing while I'm doing it or something. Something epic.
A theme song.
Well, thank you all for coming on the show. All great information. I loved having you guys all here. So
thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Definitely. Well, Jessica, I always like to check in with you. How's your Aventrepreneurs group coming? I always just love how you made that word up.
I know. I love that you say that every week. I love it. Aventrepreneurs, it's catching on. It's for event industry professionals to learn about each other and ask questions in the industry, and it's growing all the time. It's a great thing.
It's a great thing.
Yeah, I
love
it.
Maybe I should join up. So you said you had an event.
I would add
up.
You. Are you we just now became Facebook friends a day ago. Yeah, so I didn't want to throw you in any groups just yet. So you're like, what is this?
As long as you don't tell anyone else in the company I have a Facebook, because they just can't find me. That's,
I know.
That's
I thought about tagging you in some of my Meeting Pros posts, and I was like, no, he doesn't want that.
No, I don't want to become too famous. I like being at this level right here. So
I understand. Totally.
All right, well, this is Kevin Finn for Jessica Park and all our guests today, and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you next week on Meeting Pros.